600 college students were asked to write down what they believed to be the most beautiful word in the English language. 422 of them wrote the word mother. I thought that was interesting. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? You know, she was very surprised when over half her class didn't say magnet, but mother. Yes, mothers do pick up things after everyone in the house, not just the second graders. But that's just one of the innumerable things that mothers do. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, it's my desire to honor and to encourage all mothers in our church family. That's my desire. Today is a day of encouragement. You know, I'm very aware that while Mother's Day is intended to be a happy and joyous day, for many, it's a day of pain. It's a day of grief for a number of reasons. I'm very aware of that. And that, for that, I'm very sorry. But those of us who have been blessed with a faithful mother understand that such a gift is a constant source of gratitude and thanks to God. And that one day is really not enough. But we do have this day. And I want to encourage mothers. Today is a time that we can focus exclusively on her as a gift of God. And let her know just how much we love and we appreciate her. This morning, as I said, we're going to be looking at one of the best known passages in Scripture on paying tribute to mothers. It's a passage I'm sure every one of us are aware of, have heard at one time. It's a beautiful description of the excellent or virtuous wife in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Again, chapter 31 actually includes two poems. It's poetry. First 9 verses is one poem, and then the second poem is verses 10 through 31, which we're going to be looking at. Again, it's well known. It's one of the best known passages in Scripture. However, what is often unknown is that it was written by King Lemuel, who said in verse 1 that he learned this wisdom from his mother. Now, there's differences of opinion on who King Lemuel is. But this beautiful piece of poetry is actually from a woman about an ideal woman. It's not written from a man's perspective. Now, throughout history, the very mention of Proverbs 31 has filled wives and mothers with a sense of dread or anxiety. They hear these verses and immediately feel discouraged and say to themselves, I can never live up to that. But I want to remind you that God revealed these things not to intimidate you, but to encourage you, to show you that it is possible to be what you really want to be by the powerful grace of God. It's important to understand that this passage does not present a particular woman living at that time. But rather, it is the goal or the model that God wants every woman to pursue. This side of heaven, no one has achieved it perfectly. Whether it is a woman or whether it's a man, and men, your time's coming next month as we look at what God's standard or model is for us. This side of heaven, none of us have arrived. But it's the goal, it's the model that God wants us to pursue after. Commentator Matthew Henry was right when he said, "This is the mirror against which every Christian woman must stand and face herself." Now, this model was so important for Jewish young men to know what to look for in a wife. And for Jewish young women to know what God desired them to be as a wife and mother. It is so important that the first word of each of these 22 verses, 10 through 31, begin with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in consecutive order. In other words, this simple ABC format, every verse is A, B, C, D, that's our English. In Hebrew, it's Aleph, Bet, Dalet, Gimel. I mean, you go down through the Hebrew, it's just the ABCs. It's a very simple format by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to enable everyone to more easily memorize and remember this full-length portrait of the excellent wife and mother. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, this morning we're going to be looking at seven characteristics of a godly wife and mother that bring her praise from her family. The first characteristic is this: her character as a person. Her character as a person. Look at verse 10. "An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels." Now, the basic meaning of the word excellent here is strength. It's strength. When used of a woman in the Old Testament, it speaks of the strength of her character. The strength of her character. When used of a man, it's a man of valor. But as a woman, it's the strength of her character as someone who is good, worthy, virtuous, and honorable. She stands in stark contrast to the ungodly, the foolish, the rebellious, the immoral woman that Solomon earlier talked about in the book of Proverbs. It's the total opposite, the complete opposite. In the Old Testament, Ruth is a beautiful example of such a person. And this passage parallels her life in many ways. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." Same word. A woman of excellence. And that's what we're talking about. When King Lemuel asked the question, an excellent wife, who can find? He's saying that it is difficult to find such a moral, godly woman. It's difficult to find a woman of this kind of character. You see, his point here is that she is truly a gift from God. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14 says exactly that. A prudent wife, a wise wife, is from the Lord. But men, don't think that an excellent wife is any harder to find than an excellent husband. Proverbs 20, verse 6 states, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" as we go down through these verses, we're not going to be looking at what it is that this person necessarily does, but who she is as a person, her character. That is what is elevated throughout this poem. Both men and women of excellence have always been in the minority. They've always been in the minority. And yet, because of the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, beginning at salvation, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, He comes in and He changes us from the inside out. And then by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, every Christian man and woman can be a person of highest moral character. Could be a man or woman of excellence. It's possible by the grace of God. Now notice in verse 10 that when found, the worth or the value of an excellent wife is far above jewels. Far above jewels. The word jewels here is a general word that refers to precious stones of any kind, such as rubies, pearls. In ancient times, gold and jewels were the measure of one's value. You know, and since then, things haven't changed a whole lot. Our world looks and puts value on material things. But in God's estimation, having an excellent wife is far above the most valuable currency of the day. Whatever it might be, whether it's the almighty dollar, or it's gold, or it's silver, whatever it might be, in God's mind, an excellent wife is far above all of that. In other words, she is priceless. Priceless. Husbands, never forget that the most precious treasure you can possess is a wife of godly character. Don't take that for granted. She is truly God's gift to you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 declares, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones." So the first characteristic of a godly wife and mother is that she is her character as a person. Secondly, is her trustworthiness as a wife. Look at verses 11 and 12. "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." The most important relationship in the home is the relationship between the husband and the wife. Kids are a welcome addition to the family, but they are not the center of the family. The center priority relationship is the husband-wife relationship. Before the fall of man into sin, the Lord God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Then verse 24 goes on to say, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This one flesh relationship between the husband and the wife is the priority relationship in the home. And the most important element in that relationship is trust. Trust. Trust is not only the foundation of the relationship, it also is what holds it together. Therefore, when trust is violated or broken, there is doubt, there's suspicion that's injected into the marriage relationship. And when that happens, it eats away at the relationship like a cancer, and will continue to do so until the hard work of building back that trust is accomplished. And building it back must take place in order to experience the deepest level of intimacy and oneness that God so designed for the marriage relationship to enjoy. Here in verse 11, we see a man here who trusts his wife. He trusts his wife. Because of her trustworthiness, he can go outside the house to work with absolute confidence in her integrity, in her discretion. He trusts her care of the children, their home, their resources. See, it's not his children, his home, his resources. It's theirs. They are one flesh. And he trusts her. There's nothing that she's done that has violated the trust. No lies, no secrets, no half-truths, no selective honesty between them. And notice that because of her trustworthiness, he will have no lack of gain. No lack of gain. In other words, this means that he doesn't have to worry about losing what he's earned. Since she is a good steward of their finances, he knows that everything that they have together is safe with her. He's not worried, he's not suspicious, he's not jealous. Now that's not all. Look again at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. And here we see that her husband's highest good is her greatest desire. His highest good is her greatest desire. On her part, she's committed to fulfill her wedding vows to him. Yesterday, I went through those with Jim and Betty. Jim had his part. Betty had her part. To Betty, she promised to love him, submit to him, respect and honor him for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, so long as they both shall live. And if we're married, we've done the same thing with our partner. You see, the godly woman helps her husband in every way possible for his benefit. Even when it's necessary, she will lovingly confront him over issues of sin maybe in his life, to help him be all that God would have him to be. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And in doing so, she helps to advance in respect, helps to advance his respect among other people. Look down, if you would, to verse 23, where it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know, she is instrumental in that. In ancient times, the city gates was the place where the elders would gather together. These were the leaders of the community. They would gather together and they would hear various cases to judge, domestic issues, legal issues. They'd also conduct business, things that needed to be transacted. The point here is that a godly wife and mother was instrumental in helping her husband become the man that God wanted him to be. And as his character changed and he became that, his stature was elevated in the community. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. The third characteristic of a godly wife and mother is her devotion as a homemaker. Her devotion as a homemaker. And in all my study, I see that this is probably the one that's tripped up women probably the most with this passage. Look at verses 13 through 19. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. Now look at verses 21 and 22. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Now we need to understand here that these verses describe an agricultural and non-industrial society. Therefore, the point of this passage is not that all godly women will necessarily do these specific deeds or possess these certain talents and abilities. Instead, the focus here is on the woman's attitude and character that is described. That's the point. The whole passage is about character. It's not saying if you're a godly woman, you're going to be doing all these different deeds. Notice the unique situation of this woman that is described in these verses and her special talents and abilities. First of all, she makes clothing for herself and her family. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax. In other words, she goes out and finds the raw material for the clothing to be made. Verse 19, she stretches her hand out to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. These are two implements used to turn the raw material into thread, from which then she weaves it into cloth to be able to make the clothes. Verse 21 and 22, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Here we see that she now cuts the cloth and sews it into clothing appropriate for the weather. Wool was for winter time. Flax, which linen was made from, was for the summer. And she did that for herself and her family. And that clothing was beautiful. It wasn't just this drab, burlap kind of stuff that was thrown on. It was scarlet. It was fine linen. It was purple. So not only did she make clothing, she also lives on a large estate or a farm, and she has servants. Verse 15. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. See, she's up at dawn or before dawn to feed everyone in her household, because if you've grown up on a farm, which I never did, but I had relatives that did and I'd go there, you're up early. You're up early. Everybody's up early because now we got to go out and do the chores. Also, she is industrious and enterprising. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And where did she get the earnings to buy the field? Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. She had her own business, her own home business. Now let me say this. All of these things are great. They're very good. But God does not require that all women make their own clothes, be wealthy, operate their own home business and buy real estate. That's not what he's talking about here. Every woman is different. Every woman is different and uniquely gifted by God. What he is focusing on is the attitude and the character that is displayed here. You see, that attitude and character transcends time and culture. And that is what is to be pursued by every woman. Notice her attitude. Her attitude is one of joy, not drudgery. Verse 13, she works with her hands in delight. And that's not to say that every single thing that a wife and mother does in the home, she's all thrilled about. Because that's not true. But what she does, she performs out of a labor of love for those that she's doing it for. That's the point. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. See, she's not seeking something for herself. She's motivated by the sheer goodness of providing for her family's needs. It's her family that she delights in providing for them, doing what she does for them. That's the joy of her heart. That's why she does it. Also, the character that we see in these verses is that she is very creative, she's hardworking, and she's very diligent in caring for her family's need for food, for clothing, and doing her other responsibilities in the home. Verse 14, she's like merchant ships. I like that picture. She brings her food from afar. You see, she travels to get the best deals on a variety of foods and clothing for her family. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong. Now, this isn't talking about a woman down at the gym pumping iron and getting buff. That's not what we're looking at here. Now, it doesn't mean that it's wrong for a woman to stay in shape. This refers to her strong commitment to her duties at home and in the process. Remember, again, this particular gal here is on a farm, and farm work is tough. But it's in the process of doing that, she keeps herself physically healthy. Then the last part of verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. Again, we see that she is hardworking and diligent in doing what she does for her family. That takes her even into the hours of the night. As many people have said, the job of a mother never ends. Now, depending on how old your children are, it may be, 24/7, 365, in those early days. And then you get a little break, as they get older. But therefore, we see that a godly woman is not irresponsible. She's not lazy. But she is fully devoted to her responsibilities in the home with the right attitude and character because her family is foremost in her heart. Her family is her supreme priority in the home under her relationship with Jesus Christ. I agree with James Dobson, who observed, and I quote, "Few women alive today are equipped with the super strength necessary at the end of a work day to meet all the emotional needs of their children, to train, guide, and discipline, to build self-esteem in them, to teach the true value of life, and beyond that, to maintain a healthy marital relationship as well. To the contrary, I have observed that exhausted wives and mothers can become irritable, grouchy, frustrated, therefore setting the stage for conflict in the home. End quote. This is why in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the older women are told to encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to your own husband, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, don't hear me say something I'm not saying. This doesn't mean that a woman cannot work outside the home. On the contrary, in some cases, it's absolutely necessary, especially if you're a single mother. But the point is, it definitely makes it harder to keep God's priorities in the right spot. So we see that she is devoted as a homemaker. The fourth characteristic of a godly wife and mother is her compassion as a friend. Her compassion as a friend. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Here we see that not only does she care for the needs of her own family, but she is also compassionate. She's generous to those in need who are outside of her home. The phrase extends her hand, stretches out her hands, is a picture that refers to her personal involvement. There's nothing wrong with signing a check and sending it in the mail, you know, to help somebody. But she has a caring heart, a generous heart, a compassionate heart. She sees someone in need and she personally gets involved. It's the poor and needy that break her heart. She's tenderhearted. She's caring toward those less fortunate. And she looks for opportunities to reach out where she can to assist in whatever way that she can. The fifth characteristic of a godly wife and mother is her wisdom. Her wisdom as a teacher. Her wisdom as a teacher. Look at verses 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. Now this statement here, strength and dignity are her clothing, describe her outstanding spiritual character. To be of any kind of a teacher, whether it's just to your children or to others as well, whether you're teaching a Sunday school class or anywhere. To be any kind of a teacher, you begin with character. With character. Far more important than who, far more important than what you say is who you are. Because if who you are isn't what you're supposed to be, then it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference what you say. The word strength here has to do with the kind of character that is unwavering, it's consistent. It doesn't go up and down. It also never compromises the truth of the Word of God, no matter what. There's strength of character in being unswervingly consistent. The word dignity has to do with the worthiness of her character, and that it is above the norm, it's above the common. There's a high standard. It is her dignity of character that gives credibility to her words. And that enables her to powerfully influence others for good. Because there's credibility. And notice here that she also smiles at the future. Smiles at the future. What does that mean? Because she truly trusts and rests in the sovereignty of God, she has the inner confidence to smile at the future, knowing who's in control. Knowing who has her life in his hands. She knows that God is in control of everything, including the good and bad things that come into her life. And in knowing that, she knows that he is always with her and he will give her his sufficient grace to handle whatever it is that he allows to touch her life. In 2 Corinthians 12, Jesus said, My grace is sufficient for you. On her 41st birthday, a mother received, among other presents, an expensive wrinkle-removing cream from her teenage son. And what did he give you last year, I guess, asked his mom. Her reply, without hesitation, was, the wrinkles. How many wrinkles did you get this year? You know, if you don't believe that God is truly sovereign in your life, you will not be able to smile at the future. You won't be able to rest. You're going to be a wreck. Not that you like what life is or what's happening, but you can turn it over to him and rest in the fact that he knows he is in control. And you can rest in that and rest in him. Notice that verse 26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. To me, I see that flowing right out of her being able to smile at the future. You see, as she grows through God's word and the trials of her life and finds God's grace is sufficient for her, she becomes more spiritually mature and very wise in what she says. Now as a teacher, she's able to instruct others in God's truth with kindness or gentleness because that same truth has passed through and been applied in her own heart and life as she's had to deal with her realities. Her wisdom as a teacher. The sixth characteristic of a godly wife and mother is her love as a mother. Her love as a mother. Look at verses 28 and 29. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. The statement, she looks well to the ways of her household, speaks of her motherly love for her children. She looks well, she takes over, she watches. She continually and lovingly cares for the needs of her family, so much so that the statement, does not eat the bread of idleness, is restated from earlier verses to show that she's not lazy. It's because of the love of a wife and mother that those who know her best praise her most. For a mother, there's no greater reward than to have her children rise up and bless her. Not that that's what she's seeking or trying to get, but there's no greater reward that comes. And as grateful, God-honoring children grow older and wiser, they will honor their mother and hold her in higher and higher esteem. The problem is not all of our children are there yet. And you know that. But as they grow older, and God works in their life, and they become more what God wants them to be, they will do what your heart desires. For a wife, there's no greater reward than to have her husband praise her. Man, when was the last time you said to your wife something like this? Honey, you're better than any I've ever seen. If I could do it all over again, I'd still choose you. When was the last time you said that? Don't take for granted the godly wife and mother that you have. And then the seventh characteristic of a godly wife and mother is her godliness as a believer. Her godliness as a believer. Look at verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now here we see that her personal relationship with the Lord. Again, in the Old Testament, this is talking about the one true living God, Yahweh. Again, we know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Today. But it's her personal relationship with Christ that is the key to her being an excellent wife and mother. And that goes for us men too. If we're going to be men of excellence, it all begins with Jesus Christ. And although this verse comes at the end, it really belongs at the beginning. Now, charm, or one's physical form and feature, is deceitful. It's deceitful. In other words, it has absolutely nothing to do with one's character. I think we all know that. How many stunning people have we ever noticed on the outside that when you got to know them and got to know more about their heart and their character, they were wicked on the inside. Beauty is far more than just skin deep. The word beauty here refers to one's face, one's features. And that is vain. Vain. Vain in the sense that it's fleeting. It's fleeting with age. And it means absolutely nothing in light of eternity. And yet, that's what the world puts all the focus on. Especially in our day and age. But listen to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Where it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And as His children, we need to do the same. True beauty has to do with the hidden person of the heart, as Peter says, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The godly woman has this inner beauty only because she fears the Lord. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, she is not only a born-again believer, but she fears, she has a reverence for God. When you reverence God, You are humbly submissive to His will for your life. It's not just talking about being a Christian and then living like the world. One who fears the Lord, has surrendered to Christ's Lordship, has personally received Christ as their Savior, but then is committed to be living out her relationship with Christ in humble submission and trust. And it is this that is the source of her godly character. That's why I'm saying, even though this verse is last, it really belongs at the first, because everything flows out of it. It is this that enables her to possess and live out all of the other character qualities. In the New Testament, it seems to me that the fear of the Lord is probably the closest to walking by the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. Because you can be a Christian and walk by the flesh and live like the world. Or you can be a Christian and be controlled by the Spirit and walk pleasing to Him. Because of her godliness as a believer, she's not worldly and caught up in the priorities and values of the world. Therefore, though she seeks no praise for herself, notice at the end of verse 30, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. And verse 31 states, give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. In other words, give her back the good that came out of her hands to others, and let her receive the praise that she deserves. And beloved, that's exactly what we're doing today. Today on Mother's Day is a day to give back, to honor, to praise, to let them know how much we love them. In closing, seven characteristics of a godly wife and mother that bring her praise from her family. Her character as a person. Trustworthiness as a wife. Devotion as a homemaker. Compassion as a friend. Wisdom as a teacher. Love as a mother. And godliness as a believer. Mothers, be encouraged. Be encouraged by the model that God gives here. Not intimidated by it. Because God Himself is at work in your life by His powerful grace in order to enable you to progressively become all that you really want to be. We praise God for who you are and for all that you continue to do on our behalf. We love you and we honor you today. Happy Mother's Day. Let's all stand if we would. Let's stand if we're next to our mother or our wife. Just reach out, grab their hand. Let's pray for the mothers today, shall we? Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that